today's topic, non-dominant seventh chords. Just as a seventh can be added to the five chord, becomes in either major or minor without changing the function, so too can you add a seventh to either the two chord or the four chord. Let's take a look at example 12.1. Here we are in the key of G. Example 12.1a, here's the two chord. We'll add another third on top of that because we use a tertian system of harmony. And we get a minor minor seventh chord. Regular 2, 2, 7. Four chord, 4, 7. So very jazzy, that one. Works just as well in minor. Here we are in G minor, two chord. Of course, we wouldn't use that in root position. We'd probably use the 2 diminished 6. But the two chord, by stacking another third on top, becomes 2 half diminished 7. Two diminished triad. 2 half diminished 7. The four chord in minor can become the 4-7. Four triad, 4-7. And the famous example, C from the Chopin Nocturne. 2-7 chord to 5-7. Nice rest there, Chopin. So all of these chords, the 2-7, the 4-7, later on we'll learn the 3-7, the 6-7, these can be classified as non-dominant seventh chords. They're seventh chords, but they don't have a dominant function. 2-7 and 4-7 most likely would have a predominant function moving to 5. So we can't call them dominant seventh chords, so we call them non-dominant seventh chords. Okay. Let's take a look at the bottom paragraph on page 326, where it says supertonic seventh chords, 2-7. So first we'll talk about the 2-7, and then over on the next page we'll talk about the 4-7 chord. So I said these were, the broad category of these are non-dominant seventh chords. But we know that the 2 is called the supertonic, scale degree 2. So a 2 triad is the supertonic triad, and the 2-7 chord would be a supertonic seventh chord. So 2-7 would be a supertonic seventh chord and also a non-dominant seventh chord. I think you got that. All right, so let's take a look at example 12.2 with a few part writing details. We're going to do this in G major first. So here's the first one, example 12.2a. This shows the use of the 2-6-5 chord, which is in fact, as Leitz says, the most common type and inversion of non-dominant seventh chord. The 2-6-5, so it's the 2-7, but with the third in the bass, There's the third in the bass. Seventh chord and first inversion, so it's a 6-5. The root is 2, so it's a 2-6-5. So here we are from the 1 chord going to the 2-6-5, and then on to the 5, resolving to 1. So notice the preparation of the 7th, and then the resolution of the 7th down by step. That same progression in minor. The root of the 1 becomes the preparation of the 7th of the 2 half diminished 6-5 in this case. And there's the preparation, resolution. Of course, I'm playing F sharp there on the 5 chord because we need to have a major chord in minor, major 5 chord in minor. All right, the next one where it says or, just a different voicing of the same progression. So you got your 1, you got your 2-6-5, on to 5, triad, then 5-7. Preparation and resolution. That same one in minor. Finally, letter B, it says 2-7 often omits the chordal fifth. So if you look at the 2-7 in that example, you've got root, root, third, seventh. There's no fifth. What would be the fifth of that chord? What pitch class? E. And there's no E there. Why is there no E there? Well, look at the first chord. You've got G in the bass. You've got D in the alto. That's a perfect fifth. The G in the bass is going to have to move up to A because we're going to a root position 2-7. And if the D went up to an E, aha, parallel fifths. So notice that instead that D in the alto moves down to C. And so what happens then is rather than moving up to E, you're just going to eliminate that fifth entirely. Root, root, third, seventh, that's okay to do with a 2-7 because it's in root position. Generally, seventh chords of any kind, if they're in inversions, first inversion, second inversion, third inversion, they are complete chords, one root, one third, one fifth, and one seventh. But root position's different. So root position seventh chord, as you already know, from 5-7, we can have complete 5-7 and incomplete 5-7. 2-7 also can be found as an incomplete chord. So here's that whole progression again in 12.2b. And in minor. Probably wouldn't find that in minor. I gotta stop and look that up. So the 2-7 in root position there, this is example 12.2b. That'll be generally found in major, and don't worry about it in minor. Just make sure that when you move from 1 to that 2-7, omit the fifth so that there are no parallel fifths between the 1 and the 2-7. All right, moving on now to the subdominant seventh chord, the 4-7. So just to recap, we talked about the supertonic seventh chord. That's the chord built on scale degree 2, but now found as a seventh chord. So the 2-7 chord, 2 is the supertonic, so 2-7 is the supertonic seventh, and that's one of the family of non-dominant seventh chords. That's the topic of the day. Now we're talking about the chord built on 4. four triad, four seven. So the subdominant triad becomes the subdominant seventh chord. And because that chord is not a dominant chord, it's a non-dominant seventh. So we have the subdominant seventh, an example of a non-dominant seventh that's functioning as a predominant seventh. Go back and rewind that and listen to it again. Or not. All right, so here we are, example 12.3a, and something important here to be careful of. It's another parallel fifth problem. So if you're going from 1 to 4-7 and then to 5, watch out because the soprano and tenor here, good old parallel fifths that we want to make sure not to do. So the way we're going to avoid that is that E in the tenor voice of the 4-7, instead of stepping down to D, is going to move down by third to C. So instead of that soprano and tenor in example A, instead in example B, and I'll play all four voices now, 4-7, 5-7, 1. So the thing that's a little strange on this, but you have to do it, the strange thing is that the seventh of the 5-7, that's the C in the tenor on the 5-7, is approached not by common tone, not by step, but by third. Well, that's acceptable in this case because it's way better than doing the parallel fifths that you see in example A. One more time on B. Or if it was in minor. Okay, letter C, 12.3C. 4-7. What's that again? Ah, yes, the cadential 6-4. You remember the cadential 6-4. Seems like a long time ago we were discussing that in class. Cadential 6-4-5 in minor, 4-7, cadential 6-4, and finally in example D we'll listen to an inversion of the subdominant seventh chord. So you'll notice the Roman numeral progression in D, 1-4-6-5-5-6-5-1. So we'll have a stepwise ascending bass line. Isn't that 4-6-5 nice? Ah, nice juicy dissonance there. Here's the whole progression. In minor. No, we wouldn't do that in my, darn it, I'm going to have to erase that. I almost outsmarted myself there. So let's go ahead and tackle this. We're talking about example 12.3D. Now, if this was in minor, normally we'd have E flat and then F sharp, the leading tone on the 5 chord, but that would be an augmented second, which we generally try to avoid. So instead, oh boy, sorry about this, but I got to do it because I opened my big mouth. So we've got the one chord. Then we're going to do the four chord, but using E natural. And then the 5-6-5 and 1. So we're going to borrow the E natural from the major mode. You remember, though, in minor, we could use E flat or E natural. So a lot of different kinds of scale degree sixes and scale degree sevens in minor are available to us. So this progression, one minor, and then 4-6-5. Okay. Not going to do any more on that because you're probably already confused. So just forget it. All right, goodbye. Okay, the final small topic today before I give you your homework assignment is found on page 328. And that's in the blue box at the top of the page. And that's a summary of a part writing when using these non-dominant seventh chords. Let's start with point number three, which might be the most important point. Chords in inversion should be complete. That should say seventh chords in inversion are usually complete chords. In particular here, when we're talking about the 2-6-5 in major or the 2 half-diminished 6-5 in minor, those are the most common non-dominant seventh chords. And both of those should be complete chords. So 1/3, 1/5, 1/7, and 1 root. Also known as 1 root, 1/3, 1/5, and 1/7. I'm learning that I can't do too much of this recording at once because I'm starting to make a lot of mistakes, probably like I do in class. Anyway, so back to the blue box. Point number three, seventh chords in inversion should be complete. Point number two, you want to resolve the seventh of any seventh chord. So if you have a combination of 2-7 followed by 5-7, each one of those sevenths is going to resolve. Resolve the seventh of the 2-7 down and resolve the seventh of the 5-7 down. Basically, just remember any seventh is going to resolve down by step. And finally, point number one, I'm going to say it a little differently. Late says you must prepare the seventh of the chord. You want to try to prepare the seventh of any seventh chord whenever you can. Prepare generally means that same note that becomes the seventh in the previous chord, you want to try to hold it over as a common tone. Try to do that whenever you can, but if you can't, don't worry about it. We already saw that example 12.3b in the tenor voice on the third chord, the 5-7 chord. That seventh was not prepared. So disregard when Dr. Late says you must prepare the seventh of the chord, and instead you want to try to prepare the seventh whenever possible. All right, let's take a look at the homework assignment now. Okay, so for the first homework assignment for this online version of Music 112A, we're going to look in the workbook on page 239. This is the same page as I asked you to do the little test assignment, and so that was where you put in the root for the last two bass notes on example A. So this same page, and I'm going to ask you to do example A and example C. So page 239 in the workbook, example A and example C. Let's take a look at example A. You're given the Roman numerals, so the first thing you should do is convert those into a bass line and half notes. Now look at how this one is laid out. I don't think we've had a texture like this in a part writing assignment before. So the first chord, it's kind of in keyboard style with three notes in the treble clef and the bass note in the bass clef. And also we're not doing all four notes at the same time. We're doing bass, and then you can think of it as tenor, alto, soprano. Those are all the notes that make up the one chord in E minor, as you can see. So you're going to continue that figuration pattern, which is bass, and then on the next eighth note, tenor, next eighth note, alto, next note, soprano. But you'll change the notes of the chord so that you have the 2 half-diminished 6-5, there's your predominant seventh, and then a 5 triad, and then 1. Oops, I gave away the answer. Well, if you take dictation on that and submit that, you'll probably get an A on it. Anyway, think of the chords, as you go from 1 to 2 half diminished 6 5, think of the notes of the 2 half diminished 6 5. And then if you would imagine just moving those three notes in the treble clef, the same way you would do that if they were a blocked chord. But instead of blocking the chord, just do them one at a time, low, medium, high, and that'll work out great. And then the same thing when you go on to the 5 and when you go on to the 1. And so instead of a block chord texture, you'll have an arpeggiated texture. In letter C, you're given the Roman numerals. This one's in D minor. And you're not given any notes, so you'll have to start with a nice voicing. What was that rule for starting a root position tonic triad? A complete chord with a doubled root. Oh, okay. I'm going to do it like that. Or you could have done it a different way. Whatever you start with, then you'll voice lead on to 4-7, and then 5-7, and then 1. Make sure to resolve all your sevenths down and try to prepare sevenths whenever possible. It won't always be possible. All right, that's it. Have fun with that assignment, and I'll see you next time. Just a quick addendum. That homework assignment, this first homework assignment on page 239, will be due on Thursday, March 26th. If you're in the 10:30 section, it has to be email timestamped no later than 10:30 a.m. on March 26th. And if you're in the 11:30 section, email timestamped no later than 11:30 on Thursday, March 26th. Okay, have fun, enjoy, be well, don't let the virus get you, and we'll talk to you next time.